all the boys and girls who were here, and we taught them the Word of God and sang about Jesus and had a good time. A number of them received Christ as Lord and Savior. We thank you for that. Others were helped spiritually. And now, Lord, bless this closing program this morning for our neighborhood Bible time, and may it be a blessing. Just help the boys and girls they sing and the workers they work with them. And Lord, speak to our hearts through this program today. By your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, guys, we're coming down. Go ahead, Miss Pianist, let's play. Come on up here, honor guard. Everyone follow in. This is the primary department, guys. First, second, and third grade. Come right across here, sir, Mr. Hudson. Judson, good job. Line up here, kids. You guys come right up here. Girls come right up here. Everyone come across. Come across here, sir. Right over here, okay? Everybody, there we go. Line it up. Line it up right here. Good job. Step up there. Step up. All right, Caleb, come on up here, buddy. Good job. Good job. All right. Man, what a fine-looking crew. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Neighborhood Bible Time closing program. As the kids are lining up, I'm Mr. Nathan. Mr. Nate, during the week, I did actually the 7th and 8th grade. I'm not Mr. Drew. Oh, that's what it says on my ribbons. Mr. Drew and Mr. John were our evangelists this week. They did an excellent job. But this morning, we're here to honor, first of all, the kids who did a great job this week, and also you moms and dads that helped them memorize verses, be here every night. We had over 500 kids, preachers probably already told you, had Bible time this week, and it was fabulous. Let me tell you right now, we're going to sing for you, because guys and girls, what time is it? No, it's fun time, story time, glory time, match time, war time, space time, dedication time. It's better than breakfast time, lunch time, or nap time. It's the best time of your lifetime because it's God's time. So go home and tell your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your cat, your dog, your bird. You've got the word. You're coming back to Bible time next year, right? Yeah! About said tomorrow, but we're not doing that. Okay, everyone standing up straight and tall. Everyone standing, saying, hut. Yeah! Let's sing it. Here we go. You ready? Here we go, ready? It's Bible time, it's Bible time, it's Bible time in our town. There's singing, there's laughing, let's get the word around. Good job! Folks are all excited, and we are all delighted. It's Bible time, Bible time, Bible time, Bible time in our town. What time is it? Actually, it's time for us to sing one more song. Everybody put on that poochy lip, pouty face. You've seen this one before, folks. If you've got one of them at the house, that pouty face, we don't like the pouty face, do we? What are we going to sing? Here we go. Pout, pout, pout. Ready? Pout, pout, pout. I'll never pout again. Since Jesus is my friend, on him I will depend. And I know without a doubt, he will cast the pouting out. And I'll never, never pout again. How about steal? Steal, steal, steal. I'll never steal again. Since Jesus is my friend, on him I will depend. And I know without a doubt, he will cast the stealing out. And I'll never, never steal again. Good job. Let's give them a hand. They did a great job this morning. Everybody standing up straight and tall? Good job. All right. What we are going to do very briefly this morning is we are going to recognize just a few of our boosters. That's what we call them at Neighborhood Bible Time. They're Bible Time boosters. You'll get to hear more about that later on today. But we're going to give out a few awards. I'm going to ask Pastor Jody to come on up here, and we're going to start with the first, second, and third grade. Each one of these is laid out in order, first, second, and third grade, brother. And let's go ahead, and I'm going to call some names. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read off the fourth, third, second, and first place. First place winner will get a new Bible. These kids competed during the week. This is not your ordinary VBS. We have the kids learning, memorizing verses. Some of the kids, first, second, and third graders, have memorized in order, word perfect, 20 plus verses in 1 week. How about that? And these kids have worked hard bringing their friends. They've worked hard bringing their Bibles, coloring their books, doing a great job. So we're going to recognize that this morning. First of all, in the first grade, and couldn't be here as probably out on a church this morning, but preacher knows this one well. Fourth place in the first grade is Mr. Caleb Lastly, and he did a good job. Third place is Sydney Thomas, who's not able to be here this morning, with 3,550 points. Second place in the first grade, 4,450 points, Mr. Gabe Davis. Come on down, Gabe, and you can get the ribbon here from Pastor Jody. All right, and then you can go right back up on the other side there. Good job. And in first place, a stranger to Brother Jenkins here. He is, with 5,950 points, Mr. Judson Jenkins. And that's the first, second, third, and fourth place for first grade. Let's give him a hand. Good job, buddy. All right. And we've got in second grade right now, in the third or actually fourth place. We had a tie for first in second grade. That was unusual, but well-deserved. In fourth place, Miss Madison Brown. Come on down, Madison, and get your ribbon. In second place, Mr. Luke Randolph. Come on down, Luke, and get your ribbon as well. This is very good. Very good. Yeah, we'll work it out. And in first place, had a tie, and again, one was not able to be here this morning, so that's fine. We're going to actually work that out and get another first place ribbon and Bible sent in for her. But we had a tie between Addison McInturf and Kaylee Hubbard, and good job, both of them. Addison's here. Come on down, Addison. First place ribbon and a new Bible for you. Good job. That's the second grade. Let's give them a hand. They worked hard. Now, third grade's where it gets intense, let me tell you. The first place for the other two grades were in the 4,000 to 5,000 range. First place for third grade was in the 8,000 range. So these guys worked really hard. Fourth place, not here today, but I'll mention his name, is Daniel Haskins. Good job, Daniel. Third place is Miss Chelsea Poor. Good job, Chelsea. Come on down, and you get that third place ribbon for the third grade. There you go, lining up the threes there. Good job, gal. Come on down. Second place is Mr. Gideon Williams. Long time ago, Gideon, come on down, brother. Good job. And in first place for the third grade, Mr. Andrew Davis. Come on down, Andrew. Great job, buddy. And he gets a new Bible and a first place blue ribbon. That is the third grade, guys, and let's give them a hand as well. They did great. Okay, now we have two more awards to give away. Both these guys have actually received awards before for other things, but let me bring this to your attention. The primary memory champ, you just saw him, Mr. Andrew here, 20 verses, excellent job, buddy. And let's give him that certificate, Mr. Jody. Let's give him an award, a hand, good job. And the neighbor's champ, Mr. Judson Jenkins, brought four of his friends to Bible time. Let's give him a hand as well, excellent job. Folks, it is all about the Bible. Teaching kids the Word of God. That's why the first place prize is a Bible. The Word of God is precious. And guys, how about let's do one more song. Do you guys know the B-I-B-L-E? Everybody get your hand up like a Bible. With or without music is fine if you've got it. Here we go. Get your hand up like a Bible. We'll sing the B-I-B-L-E, and then we're going to go and be dismissed. Ready? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E spells... All right, let's give them a hand. Guys and girls, come on down. Come on down this way. We'll start with the teachers here. Sweet. Good job, guys. Come on down.
Thank you very much, primaries.
Guys.
Excitable group. And they get excited about everything. I know my grandson won. He won the coloring one day, and he came home. He thought he'd won a $100 bill or something. But everything excited. And I'm glad they got excited about the Word of God. And so with more to come, just a few announcements here. We want to thank everyone who participated in Neighborhood Bible Time. You parents, thank you for letting your children come, and over 100 workers, and we had plenty of workers, and that's unusual. And I'm thankful for all the workers who helped us this week, and the staff was fully engaged in the week, and they gave 100%. And Brother Gary, the director this week, did a great job. So, and all of you that helped in any way for Neighborhood Bible Time, thank you very much, and we certainly appreciate it. And then let's see. I have the totals for Neighborhood Bible Time. The enrollment was 539. That's boys and girls. We had about 100 workers each day on top of that. And the average attendance was 436. And then we had 152 spiritual decisions. The boys and girls who some of them rededicated their life or had other special decisions, and we prayed with them and counseled with them from the Word of God. And then we had boys and girls to make and young people, teenagers, 122 salvation decisions. So, folks, that's wonderful. You say, how many of those boys and girls really got saved? Well, those that with their heart received the Lord Jesus and believed on Him, they got saved according to the Word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You say, well, can boys and girls get saved? My wife's sitting over and saved since 6 years old. And I think my son was saved at 6 years old. I was 13, but we thank the Lord for every decision is made this week. Now at this time, we're going to have the ushers come forward, if you will, gentlemen. And we want all first-time visitors to take a visitor's card. We're glad to have you if you're here for the first time today. I'm Gene Lashley, the pastor here at this church. And then we want all bus parents, all you, if your children rode in on the bus, we want you to take a visitor's card so we can know who you are. So at this time, all first-time visitors, all bus parents, would you raise your hand, take one of these cards. You can keep the pen as a memento of your visit here today. Just raise your hand as they come by, please, and our ushers will be glad to give you one of these visitor's cards so we can get a record of your visit and find out who you are. Okay, thank you very much. Do fill those out. And we're delighted this morning that have brother, our co-pastor, Brother Jody Jenkins, who will be pastor here in a couple of months, and he's going to come and speak to you a short message this time. And after he's through, there will be more to come, the juniors and what else here. The preschool and juniors yet to come. Brother Jody Jenkins, come right ahead, Jody.
I've got this. You can tell this was not put up for me here, right? Amen. If you got a Bible, I want you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I've been asked to speak briefly. I thought I'd get some laughs on that one, you know. We appreciate you being here today. God bless you. It's a privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt about it. If you're visiting with us, welcome to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We welcome you with open arms. And I just want to read to you one verse of Scripture, get right into the message today. 1 Corinthians 15, 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. Again, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And I want to preach to you today on this subject, the greatest story that's ever been told. The greatest story that's ever been told. Let's pray together quickly, and I want to share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. We ask that you bless this time in a mighty way. May you draw people to yourself. And Father, help me to explain the gospel in clear terms this morning. Speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to ask you right now, don't answer it out loud, don't shake your head yes or no, but if I were to ask you, if you were to die just like you are, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven? If you don't, I want to share with you the greatest story that's ever been told. It's the story called the gospel. There's five things we share with folks, and I use my five fingers. So if you have a thumb, I'm going to talk to you about the thumb just a moment. It's point number one. Number one, the first major point to the greatest story ever told, and this is great news. Number one, God loves you. The Bible says in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, the Bible says, "For God so loved." That's a little two-letter word, but oh, how big it is. Because God knew that he just couldn't say, "For God loved." He said, "No, that's not enough." He said, put the little two-letter word in there, "God so loved." And the word "world" there is not talking about this building. It's not speaking of the animals outside or the trees outside or the grass or the flowers. It's talking about the human beings. And if you're a human being, listen to me today, and I know you are, then you can take out the word "world" and put your name there, and it means the same thing. You can say, "For God so loved Jody, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that if Jody would believe in him, Jody would not perish, but Jody would have everlasting life. Hey, it's great news to realize that there's a God in heaven who loves me. And there's a God in heaven who loves you. He really loves you today. Isn't that great? That's wonderful news, isn't it? That's number one. Secondly, quickly, there's only five things. I'm going to go quickly here. The second thing is your index finger. Here it is. Everybody has sinned. Everybody has. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, what in the world does that mean? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what the word "all" means? All. That's deep, isn't it? Everybody understand that? The Bible says, for all, everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what is sin? Sin is anything that breaks the law of God. Have you ever broken God's law? According to Scripture, you have. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Kings 8:46 and 2 Chronicles 6:36, the Bible says, "There's no man that sinneth not." Now, what are we talking about today? Here's what we're talking about here. Number one, God loves me, but number two, I have done wrong and so have you. The Bible goes on to say, and comes short of the glory of God. Now, what does that mean? Have you ever thrown darts at a dartboard? If you have, I want to paint a picture with you here. Let's just say that we hold up this gold ribbon right here, and let's say that this gold ribbon is the bullseye on a dartboard. I'm trying to explain to you what the phrase means, and comes short of the glory of God. Let's say that this is a bullseye here, and say you throw a dart and it hits me right between the eyes right there. And say that, and let's just say that my wife goes back to the back and she throws a dart and it's stuck up in the ceiling, okay? Now, did you get closer to the bullseye than my wife did? It's not a trick question, did you? Yes. But which one of you hit the bullseye? Neither one. You know what the phrase means and comes short of the glory of God? The glory of God is who God is. God is perfect. That's part of his glory. Guess what? I'm not. And I dare say you're not either. And may I say this to you, whether you've sinned once or 10,000 times, the fact is everybody has done something wrong. Consider the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter number 20. Don't turn to it. Just listen to me for time's sake. But in Exodus chapter 20, let's just look at just some of the Ten Commandments. What about commandment number one? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Have you at all times in your life had God as number one in your life? Have you at any time in your life, have you ever put anything or anybody above God? What would every one of us have to answer to that question? Yes. You know what that means? Guilty. Do not deserve heaven. I'll prove that in just a moment. Let's go down to commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. Now, I know what you're saying. I've never killed anybody. Wait a minute. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ held the standard higher. And he said, if you've ever been angry at somebody without a cause, you're a murderer. That's convicting. Let's go down to commandment number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, I know what somebody may be saying. I have never committed adultery against my wife or against my husband. Wait a minute. Jesus Christ said, again in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, says, if you look upon somebody the opposite sex and you lust after them, you just have a wicked thought about the opposite sex, you're just as guilty as an adulterer. What am I proving? You're saying you're making me feel bad. Good, because that's what the law is supposed to do. It lets us all know that we've fallen short of the glory of Almighty God. Commandment number 9 says, thou shalt not bear false witness. What's that mean? Thou shalt not lie. If there's anybody in here that's never lied, I'd like to meet you and have you sign my Bible. See, the commandments of God show us one thing. You know what it shows us? We're guilty. We're guilty. We have broken the law of God. Commandment number 10 says, thou shalt not covet. You know what that means? Have you ever looked at somebody else and something they have, you want it? You want it? What does the law of God prove to us? The law of God proves to us that we are sinners. Can I get an amen there from somebody? It proves to us that we have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of commands. See, so many times we just think the law of God are the Ten Commandments. No, 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 no. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of God's commands within His Scripture. And it's time that we stop comparing ourselves to ourselves. See, there's some people say, well, I'm just as good as him or I'm just as good as her. Wait a minute. God says in the book of Revelation that not one thing will enter heaven to defile it. See, if you go to heaven, it doesn't matter how good you are compared to him. You must compare yourself to God. And if you are less than God, you cannot go to heaven when you die in yourself. Now, is there anybody compared to God? Equal with God? You say, prove that to me. James chapter 2, verse 10. Listen to this verse. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Did you hear that verse? He that keeps the whole law and yet breaks one law, just one, he's guilty of the whole law. D.L. Moody likened it this way. If you're hanging off of a cliff, and I'm talking about you're staring a mile down and you know it's death if you don't hang on, and you're hanging on to a chain link chain, you know what I'm talking about, these intertwined chains. How many of those links have to break to send you to your death? Just one. Just one. The law of God is like that chain. They're interconnected. They're intertwined. And God says if you break one link, just one command, you're guilty of everything. And you're going to die like that. See, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 3 and verse 19, it says this, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God. You know what that verse tells me? The reason God gave the law is to tell you you're guilty. And to tell me that I am too. See, the law of God proves to us that we're not perfect. We're not like God. He's perfect, that's His glory. Romans 3:23, that's point two. We've all fallen short of that. Whether it's just by one law or whether it's by all the law, we have all fallen short of perfection. Every one of us. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 24, don't turn to her, just listen to this. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. To bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. See, the law was given not for you to keep it so you can earn God's favor. The law was given to show you you can't keep it and to realize that you can't work your way to heaven, that you need another way. Amen. That's number two. Number three, number one, God loves us. Number two, we have sinned. Number three, our sin, every one of them must be paid for. That's found in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That word wages means payment. For instance, I work a job. I work here at the church. Every 2 weeks, I get a paycheck. That word, paycheck, is equivalent to what the word wages means in Romans 6:23. In other words, what I have earned for my time at work, for getting out of the bed, coming, being on call, and all these other kind of things, what I have earned at the end of 2 weeks is a wage. It comes in the form of money. So I can live on it, and my wife and I can live on it. But the Bible says what we have earned, what we deserve for our sin, is death. Now that word death is speaking of physical death, but it's also talking about what the Bible calls in the book of Revelation the second death. See, going to heaven is called everlasting life. Going to the lake of fire is called everlasting death. And that, my friend, is what we deserve, because we have broken God's perfect standard. Are you with me so far? We deserve to die without Christ and go to a devil's hell because we have sinned. By the way, the wage of sin is death, which means it has to be paid. I talked to a gentleman this week in the hospital, and I asked him, I said, "Do you know you're going to heaven?" He said, "Oh, yes." I said, "If you don't mind me asking, how do you know?" He said, "Well," he said, "I would tell Jesus that I served him for 8 years." You know what God says about that? Filthy rags. Filthy rags. Because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 64:6, when it comes to salvation, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Are you listening to me? If you ever get to heaven, it'll not be because what you did. It'll be because you've accepted what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. See, the wages of sin is death, not serving Jesus. Now, is it wrong to serve Jesus? No, but it's wrong to serve Him in order to go. You ought to serve Him because you already are going if you're saved, to say thank you, but not in order to go. See, God says the wages of sin is death, not living a good life, not turning over a new leaf, not serving Jesus. It's death. Somebody has to die. That's what God's Word teaches. That's what it says. That brings us to my fourth point. This is the greatest story that's ever been told. You say, "Jody, it's making me feel terrible." Here comes the good news. Point number four, God loves you. Hey, we've sinned. Because we've sinned, we deserve death. Somebody's going to have to die. I can't live good enough, because if I've broken one commandment, I've broken the whole law. I'm guilty. What's wrong? What can I do? Number four, it's your ring finger. Jesus Christ, God's Son, lived a perfect sinless life and has already paid for your sin. You say, what's that mean? Let me explain it. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth. That word commendeth means He demonstrated, He showed. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, we've sinned, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died. The wages of sin is death. And the Bible says Christ died for us. Man, I get excited talking about the gospel. This is the greatest story that's ever been told. And let me tell you something. You may be a sinner, and I know you are, just like I am. But God knew that too. And He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and the book of Hebrews tells us that He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. You know what that tells me? Jesus never sinned. It takes faith to believe that. By the way, you'll never get saved until you do believe that. God's Son was God in human flesh. He never sinned, which means if He didn't sin, He didn't have to die, because the wages of sin is death. But He had no sin, so therefore He had no wages. Don't you see that? But He chose to die, the Bible says, for us, for me, and for you. I take it this way. If you and I were driving down the interstate, and lo and behold, I'm driving the car and you're in the passenger seat, and let's just say our preacher is driving behind us. He's not going as fast as we are, because we're going 120 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone. The cop pulls us over. Folks, he's not going to give us a lollipop and say, "God bless you for your safe driving." No, he's going to write us a ticket, right? Does that ticket have to be paid? Sure. You say, "I'm not going to pay it. I'm going to crumble it up and throw it in his face." I dare you. You'll pay for that ticket. Right, Brother Scotty? Amen. Well, let's just say that Preacher Lassie sees this, and he comes and he pulls in after the police officer pulls off. And he comes over to us and he takes our ticket and he says, you know, I'm just feeling in a good mood. I love you guys. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this down. I know I'm not guilty. I didn't do it. You did it and I saw it. You were guilty. You did break the law and you know it. But I'm going to take it down to the courthouse and I'm going to pay it myself. And he takes it down there and they stamp on it, PIF, paid in full. And he hands it back to us and says, it's paid in full. It's official. Right there it is. There's the stamp of approval. Now, how crazy would it be for me to try to pay for it again? How crazy would it be for me to say, well, I wonder if I use Monopoly money and maybe the government overlooks something? They're not going to overlook anything. You understand what I'm saying? You know it's official by the language that's used, by the word that was given. Amen. In the same way, every time you sin, the devil writes death, 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 death. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you know what he was doing? He took every one of your sin tickets and my sin tickets and he stamped on it, PIF, paid in full. And God the Father looks down and says, I accept that sacrifice. Anybody who comes to me in your name, I'll in no wise cast them out. Jesus Christ has paid for your sin already. That's the greatest news that's ever been heard right there. But number five is it. This might be the quickest sermon I've ever preached in my life. And everybody said, amen, glory to God, right? Number five, number one, God loves us. Number two, we've sinned, every one of us, whether we've sinned once or 10,000 times. It doesn't matter how many, everybody sinned. And God says, if you've broken one, you've broken all. Don't you see how everybody's mouth is stopped at that right there? We're guilty. Guilty. Because of that, there's a payment to be made. It is death. But Jesus Christ left the portals of glory, and he offers you salvation because he died in your place. But number five, you can know all the facts, but if you don't do number five, you're not going. And that is this: you must personally receive the gift of eternal life. Now, what does this mean? Remember the verse that said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death? That verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, the Bible says eternal life. That's heaven. You understand that? That's heaven. He's talking about heaven, eternal life. He said it's a gift of God. Now, what does that mean? I want to illustrate it to you because this is so vitally important. You're listening so well, too. I appreciate it. Let's say that I was going to give you a gift of mine to you. This is Jody's gift to you. Now, if this is truly a gift, there's certain things that have to be true about it. Number one, I bought it. If you bought it, how's it a gift to you? It's a purchase if you bought it, right? Boy, I know this is deep now. I know it's deep. If this is a gift and I say that the only thing I want you to do, if I walked over here to my wife and I said, now, honey, the only thing I want you, this is my gift to you. The only thing I want you to do is come up here and straighten my tie. Don't tell me if it needs to be straightened, okay? If she does that and then I give it to her, it was not a gift at all. It was a purchase because I asked her to do something to earn it. You know what a gift is? A gift is something that's free to the one who gets it at the expense of the one who gives it. For instance, if this is my gift to you, it means I bought it, I worked for it, and I offer it to you free of charge. You don't earn it, you don't deserve it, but it's for you. Now, what's the only thing you must do for this watch to become your possession? You have to accept it. You have to take it. In other words, I can buy it, I can do all the work for it, and I can offer it to you, but hey, if you say I don't want it, it never becomes yours. You see what I'm saying? Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. And he says, whosoever will, whosoever believeth, whosoever accepteth, whosoever taketh. You say a salvation by works? Excuse me. Yes, it is. But not your works. It's by the works of Jesus Christ. He bought it. He did everything necessary for it. He worked for it. And now he offers heaven freely to you. And all you've got to do is take it. That's simple. Why? It's a gift. 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 That's the greatest story that's ever been told. Let's say that there's one plane in all the world going to Miami, Florida, And you have to get down there today. I'm talking about in 6 hours, you've got to be in Miami, Florida. And you realize you can't drive, you can't hitchhike. The only way possible that you can get there is to fly. And there's one plane in all the world that's going to Miami, Florida, and it's sitting at the Tri-Cities Airport right now. You and I go to the airport, and we're standing on the runway, and while we're standing on the runway, we look up at that plane and we say, "That is a plane." And we see the pilot in the cockpit and say, "That is a pilot, and he knows what he's doing, and he's going to make that plane go all the way to Miami." Listen, you know all the facts about the plane, but if you do not make the decision to get on board, you're not going to Miami, Florida. Did you hear what I just said? You can know that Jesus Christ died for you. You can know that you're a sinner. You can know that he died in your place. But if you have never accepted him into your heart and life, you're not going to heaven. You say, "That's not fair." That's Bible. That's the Word of God. And if anybody knows how to tell you to get there, I think God does, don't you? He made heaven. And he says in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man," that's man or woman, mankind, "no man cometh unto the Father but by me," he said. Now I ask you a question tonight, this morning. Do you know, based upon what I've just told you, do you know? Don't shake your head, don't answer it out loud, just silently, because this is a private matter, you understand. Do you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven? Have you received Jesus Christ? You say, "How do I do it? Do I see him? And yeah, I want him. There he is." No, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know how you receive the gift of eternal life? You ask God for it. It's that simple. It's that simple. Do you know that you're going to heaven when you die? If you don't, believe the greatest story that was just told, and you can be saved. I want you to bow your head with me, please, and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, nobody looking around. You say, "Why do we do this, Jody?" Because this is a private matter, you understand. This is nobody's business. But is it possible that somebody's listening to me right now, and as you heard this story, you realize that before God, you are guilty. You have broken the law. Whether it be one point or all the points, you've broken all of it, because God says if you've broken just one point, you're guilty of everything. Some people try to say, "Well, I'm too bad for God to save me." Wait a minute. Folks, if anybody sins one time, God says you're guilty of everything. See, in God's eyes, you're no worse than anybody else. God loves you today. He sent his son Jesus to prove it. Do you realize that you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ right in your seat? Now, understand, we are not here to try to make you a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. That is not what this meeting is about. You're sitting in our church, and we're proud of our church, but listen, that is not what we're trying to do. This has nothing to do with you joining our church, has nothing to do with you giving money in the offering. This is simply a question right to you. If you died, do you know that you're going to heaven? If you don't, do you believe what you heard? Do you understand that you've sinned? That God loves you and he sent Jesus to die for you? And all you've got to do is receive his gift. It's free to you. You can't earn it. You've already earned something anyway. You've earned death. You cannot earn life. All you must do is receive the gift of eternal life. Would you like to do that? I want to help you with this. As a matter of fact, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to form a simple prayer. Now, please understand, it is not in the words that you say. You say, "Well, I didn't say that word." No, it's not in the words. It's in the heart. If you really want this, God will give it to you. You understand? He'll give it to you if you really want it. I'm just trying to give you a sample prayer that you can pray. This is not my prayer, it's yours. If you're sitting there right now not sure that heaven's your home and God's speaking to you and you know that this is what you need and you want this, you really want it, he'll change your life. I want to invite you to pray this prayer to receive everlasting life right there in your seat. Right there in your seat, I want you to pray this prayer. I want to ask her just to begin to play through softly, and I want you to pray this prayer after me. Here it is. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, but I know you died for me. And I ask right now that you come into my heart, that you forgive my sins, and that you save my soul. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you say, Jody, the best way I know how, I prayed that prayer. The best way I know how, I meant it. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to do that. You have my word. But you say, Jody, I prayed that, and the best I know, I meant it. I really meant it. I just received Jesus as my Savior. If that's you and you say, Jody, now again, you have my word. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. But you say, Jody, that's me. I prayed it. I meant it. I'm glad I did. I'm not ashamed. I received the Lord. If that's you, would you quietly, without drawing attention to yourself, would you lift your hand in the air? Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else, thank you. Somebody else, you say, Jody, I prayed it. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else, you say, I prayed it. Thank you. I see your hand. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else, you say, I prayed this. I meant it. I'm glad I did. I'm not ashamed. Anybody along with these folks, these dear folks who've just trusted the Lord, if you raised your hand to that, I want you to do me a favor. We're just about through with this part, and then we're going to have the closing part of the ceremony. If you raise your hand about that quietly, if you wouldn't mind to do this, I want you to lift your eyes and look at me. Would you do that? I'm not going to come to your seat. I promise you, I'm not going to do that, okay? I'm not going to come to your seat. But I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a visitor's card? Okay, do you have a visitor's card? Do you have a visitor's card? Do you? Could you shake your head yes or no? I'll tell you what. If you have a visitor's card, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take it because you still have it, okay? And I want you to put a star at the top of it. Would you do this? I want you to put a star at the top. Because listen, we're not going to have you respond by coming forward, but we want to know who you are so we can help you. Will you do that, man? Will you do that? Put a star at the top. And when the offering is taken in just a few moments, we want you to drop that card in the offering plate. I have written a book that I'd like to give to you, okay? It's hard to give it to you if I don't know who you are. You understand what I mean? We're excited for you. We're really thrilled about it. We're really thrilled about this. If you don't have a visitor's card, then I want you to come find me after the service. I will be right here up front. And I want you to come find me so we can get your name and information and help you. Okay? Is that good enough? Isn't that good? Thank the Lord for it. And welcome to the family of God. And we'll help you with this, okay? God bless you. Preacher, you go right ahead.
Well, amen. Thank you, Brother Jody, for that great message. Simple message, but greatest story ever told. And we just thank the Lord for you. Thought three or four, was it, Brother Jody, something like that, that received Christ as your Savior. And that's the most wonderful thing that you've ever done. I did that many years ago, and I've never regretted it. You'll never regret it. Don't be ashamed of it. It's a wonderful thing. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Well, we're going to receive an offering at this time. It takes money to keep the work of God going. And I just noticed we got $4,800 in Sunday school. But you know how much Neighborhood Bible Time cost last week? I don't know for sure. But I'd say it cost around $4,000 or more. I mean, those buses, 10 buses traveling, I don't know, 30 to 40, 50 miles a day during the week. You know, that's expense plus all the other expenses, materials and everything. And so we ask you to just, if you're able to help us with this, give a good offering, and it'll go toward the work of the Lord and help us with the expenses of Neighborhood Bible Time. So come right ahead, gentlemen. Let's pray as they come forward. Lord, we thank you for the great message. Thank you for these that trusted Jesus. Thank you for the good week of Neighborhood Bible Time. And Lord, we know that you're going to meet all of our needs by your people through the sacrificial gifts of your people. Bless this offering, I pray, this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go right ahead. Now, you made a decision for us. Put that card in the offering plate, if you will, please. Thank you very much. And soon as the offering is taken, we'll have, let's see, we have preschool, and they're quite a group. And then the juniors, excitable bunch. And so more good is yet to come. Thank you very much. After the offering, we'll have preschool and then the juniors.
Alright guys, come on down boys and girls, right up on the stage. We're going to finish off our program with the cutest of the bunch. And then we have the juniors, they're the most energetic. Come on down Miss Jenica, right down here. Good job Avery. Come down Miss Hope. Okay everybody, right across the stage. Come on all the way over here Jenica. Come on all the way down. All the way down. Teachers help us line them up here. Good job. Stretch them over. Everyone side by side. Abigail, stand up here. Here we go. Everybody standing up straight and tall like soldiers. Good job. Good job, everybody. Wonderful. Welcome. Everyone, this is the preschool department. We had so many preschoolers this week, we divided them into two different preschools. And all the, if you see any of these ladies walking around, they look slightly shell-shocked. They were with these kids 3 hours a night. So shake their hand, pat them on the back, give them $20, whatever. Everyone standing up straight and tall, eyeballs. Let's show these moms and dads some of our best songs. How about the booster cheer? Everybody, right face, turn this way. Ready? One, two. Put your hands out in front of you. Here we go. This is the world famous, internationally known booster cheer, preschool style. One, two, three, four, glory. Point up to heaven. Re-glory. Back up. Don't fall off the stage. One, two, three. Music, Mrs. Prillhart. Here we go. Ready? Everyone get your hands together. We are boosters. Bible time boosters. Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are. So we tell them who are. Who are, come on boys, who are we? Bible time boosters, can't you see? Show me those pretty ribbons, everybody. Get down low, get down low, get ready. Zip. Boom! Everybody get down one more time, get down low. I'm gonna say one, you say two, ready? One. Oh, you can yell out in that. One. Three boosters. Yes, sirree. Give them a hand. Good job, guys. Hey, let's sing one more, everybody. Now, this one we don't have music to because this one we just sang in preschool. I met Jesus at the crossroads. Eyeballs. Here we go. Let's show it to our moms and dads because that's the crossroads of life. Here we go. Everyone follow Mr. Nate. I met Jesus at the crossroads where the two ways meet. Good job. Who was standing there? Satan too was standing there and he said, come this way for lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today. But I said, no, that's right. There's Jesus here. See what he offers me. Down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, a home in heaven. Praise God, that's the way for me. Praise God. Everybody give him a hand. We're going to give out 3 prizes for our kindergarten as well. Some of these kids did a great job. Excuse me, I've got one of mine right here. Stand up there, little girl. We're going to give away 1st, 2nd, and 3rd place. And we've got in 3rd place. Now, Mr. Judah Gallion got 4th, but he's not able to be here with us this morning. He's one of our sister churches. In 3rd place, everyone, listen up. When I call your name, you come down front here, okay? Miss Hope. Come on down, Miss Hope Randolph. 3rd place, let's give her a hand. Come on over here, get your ribbon. Take that special ribbon and you can go right back up there. Good job. In 2nd place, Avery McInter. Come on, Miss Avery, let's give her a hand. Good job. Matches her dress, red with red. How about that? And in 1st place with 3,850 points. My goodness. Miss Jenica Reed. Come on down, Miss Jenica. Let's give her a hand. She gets a New Testament and a 1st place ribbon. Great job. And that is our preschool department. Give them a hand one more time. They did great. All right. Go ahead, Miss Pearlhart, and play. And girls, let's go down on that side. Boys, everyone, right face, turn this way. We're going down this way, and the juniors are going to come in as we go out. They don't get to go out yet. Okay, you got to follow. They get to go out to other folks. Come on this way. Good job, guys. Good job. Everybody follow together. Oh. Don't jump down. Just walk around. Here you go. Walk around, guys. Careful. There we go. Man, watching dresses, watching ribbons. Everybody, don't step on somebody. Go ahead, guys. Go this way. Go this way. Come on, girls, this way. All right, junior boys, junior girls, come on down. Everyone, come up on the stage. Let's line them up. This is the highest energy group, man. You should have seen it in here. We had balloon races. We had people spinning around, popping balloons, jumping off. No, they weren't jumping off the pews, but it was great. They had rally time in here. And I tell you what, this is my favorite group right here. These guys have got the energy. Come on across the front here, guys. Girls, don't lean on the back. Step up here this way. Step up here this way, everybody. Don't lean on the backstage. Step up this way, guys and girls. There we go. We got to get everybody across. Come on across, guys. Come on across. Springfest, you come across. Come on across, man. Yes, that's right. Everybody. Okay, girls. All right, everybody take 2 big steps this way. 2 big steps this way. Don't walk off stage, but take 2 steps out to your front of you. All right, guys. Stand, 10, hut. Hey, remember I said the stars are going to shine tonight. Who are the stars? You guys are the stars tonight. We're going to show these guys now. They saw the little preschoolers do it, but they've never seen the neighborhood Bible time. Junior boosters do the booster cheer. Show us how it's done. Everybody, if you got something in your hands, you might want to put it down by your feet. Right face. Hey, we're up on stage. We got to turn this way. 1, 2. Here we go. Put your hands out in front of you. Bend over the waist. Don't tickle the person in front of you. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. For glory, re-glory. 1, 2, 3, music, Miss Pearlhart. Here we go. We are boosters, Bible time boosters. Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are. So we tell them who are we? Bible time boosters. Can't you see? Show me those pretty ribbons. Everybody get down. Let's go. Let's go. Zip. Boom. Everybody down on 1.
2.
Oh, come on. I can't hear you. 1.
2.
360 if you can do it. 360. Yes, sir. Man, I'm throwing hardware down here. This is terrible. Give them a hand, guys. Good job. Way to go. Way to go. Everybody standing up straight and tall. Listen up, we're going to sing in just a minute one more song, but I want to tell you, these boosters did a great job. Many of these kids are just entering into almost to their teen years, and many of them came to know Christ this week. I can't have any better way to start off their lives as that, to start off with Jesus Christ as their Savior. And again, junior boosters, they're a great bunch, and you have to be in here. I challenge you all to come out for our junior rally time one summer and see how it goes. Guys, we're going to sing one more song. everything's all right in my Father's house. In my house, it might be a mess, but in my Father's house, everything's all right. Let's sing it. Here we go. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Come and go with me. Come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Good job, guys. Hey, I hope that's a challenging message to you, as we just heard a few minutes ago. Hope you'll go with them. Jesus is the way. We're going to give away our prizes. Pastor Jody, come ahead. Guys, here's how it works. When I call your name out, just like I told you before, you come down here to Pastor Jody. He'll give you your ribbon or your prize. Here we go. In the fourth grade, my word, there was a bunch of fourth graders. Great competition. And all the girls racked up. Sorry, fourth grade guys. Got smoked, boys. Here we go. In fourth place, Olivia Collier. Come on down. Fourth place. Good job. In third place, McKinley Ryans. Come on down. McKinley, good job. In second place, Allie Wright. Good job, Allie. And in first place, the winner of the blue ribbon and the new Bible in fourth grade, Miss Hannah Foster. Good job. Let's give them a hand. That's the fourth grade. Good job. All right, fifth grade, listen up. Here we go. We have in fourth place, she tried really hard. Again, fourth place for the fifth grade starts where the first place for the fourth grade ends. If you followed that. Good job. Anyway, Paula Greer. Paula, come on down. Good job, Miss Paula. Salamina Duana, third place. Good job, Salamina. Excellent. In second place, Tyler Yarbrough. Good job, Tyler. Second place. And in first place with 7,160 points, Duncan Buchanan. Give him a hand. Good job, Duncan. All right. Way to go. Sixth grade, the top of the junior department. Everybody standing up straight and tall. Listen up. Here we go. Fourth place in the third grade, Destiny Baker. Destiny, good job. Only separated by 10 points, one bonus punch. Wow, that's close competition. Third place, Riley Mosier. Come on down, Riley. Good job, buddy. Way to edge her out, man. Second place with 6,250 points. That's second place for sixth grade, my word. Sarah Roten. Sarah, come on down, gal. Good job. And in first place, by far the highest score this year in the Bible time, Kenneth Morrison, 11,650 points. Come on down, Kenneth. Good job, buddy. He gets the first place blue Bible. Stand right there, Kenneth, because we got one more award for you, buddy. You're the junior memory champ. 32 verses memorized in order, word perfect. Give him a hand. And this... we have one more to give away. Miss Paula got the neighbor champ. She brought four of her friends to Bible time. Come on down, Miss Paula. You have a certificate. She's the neighbor award bringer. Everybody, great job. Guys, let's end off on a song. It's Bible time, because that's what it did. Everyone standing up straight and tall. Here we go. It's almost time to go home, but ready? Bible time, it's Bible time, it's Bible time in our town. There's singing, there's laughing, let's get the word around. folks are all excited, and we are all delighted. It's Bible time, Bible time, Bible time, Bible time, Bible time in our town. What time is it?
Bible!
Next year. It's good. Grab your stuff. Good job, guys and girls. You are dismissed. Teachers, take them down. Let's give them a hand. Oh, guys, don't jump in. Let's go down the stairs. Go down the stairs. I've already got somebody picked out. Good job. Good job, guys. Good job. Way to go. Good job, guys. Way to go. Good job. Good job, Mr. Leroy. Good job, Mr. Leroy. Good job. All right. Sure.
Well, again, this church has not seen so much excitement since, I guess, last year at this time. But you have went to the most exciting church service in Upper East Tennessee today, I can guarantee you that. And exciting because also some people got saved. But thank you for coming. Appreciate everyone that had a part in Neighborhood Bible Time. And anyway, God bless you. Goodbye. We'll see you. Come see us again.